Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Hello and welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Thank you for joining us for part two of Fighting for Federal Funding, the 2007 Assistance to Firefighter Grants Program. Today we have Brian Vickers, our senior contributing editor on the topic of grants. And we have a roundtable of departments who have been very successful at applying for and winning the Assistance to Firefighter Grant Programs. We have today Chief Jim Harrington from the Gates New York Fire District, Andy Thoreau from the Ipswich Mass Fire Department, and Kevin Gordon from the Waco Community Fire Department in North Carolina. Today's podcast is sponsored by Plume Events, so we just want to say thank you very much to them for helping us get word out to departments across the country that it is a good idea to apply for the Assistance to Firefighter Grants and the SAFER Grants. Your department will, you know, benefit significantly if you do take the time to apply for these. Brian, let's get into the first part of the show and do a quick introduction for everybody that's here today.
Yeah, thank you, Pete. Well, I'd like to welcome, we've got Chief Jim Harrington of Gates Fire District in Rochester, New York. We've also got Chief Kevin Gordon of Waco Community Volunteer Fire Department in Waco, North Carolina, and Andy Thoreau from Ipswich Fire Department. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, you're welcome.
Well, we'll just go around a little bit. I know I asked for some common information from all of you, and all you guys have been successful in the grants, and all pretty different backgrounds as far as the departments and everything being funded. Going through your answers, Jim, I think you've got a pretty organized setup up there. You mentioned that you use a committee up there with a coordinator. How does that work out as far as finding funding and the success that you've seen? You guys are been successful three times now, or five times now, excuse me.
Yeah. No, we've been pretty fortunate, and through committee, it's worked pretty good because as you start looking at the different chapters when you apply, you know, some of it's just basic data entry, and the other parts where you have to do the narratives is really where the committees come into a good play at that time. So what we kind of do, just break it down, task somebody with going out, give us the narrative, what's the actual needs assessment, so they'll go out and look at the needs assessment. The other people go out and they'll look at the equipment aspect of it and say, this is what we want to purchase, how many pieces of equipment are we going to purchase, what's the total cost associated with it, and then kind of come back with the committee and pull all the information together and start to do the application. So it's worked out real good.
Yeah. Well, as far as the research goes, I mean, it's certainly the assessment piece is something a lot of us have keyed on and, ever since this program began, or for that matter, any grant program. What's the background in your department, where you're at, and how y'all are doing?
Well, we're up in the western part of New York State, and again, northeast area is having a big exodus of individuals going down south, so the economy's on a downward trend here, and we had a big hit with a very large corporation here who used to employ about 68,000, and then he downsized to about 18,000 over the course of about a 10-year period, and that downsizing shut down one plant at our site, specifically in our fire district, where we had about 30,000 people on site in a 24-hour period to probably about 1,000 people on site. So we lost a lot of revenue through the tax base and things. So with us trying to increase the tax rate, you know, we wanted to try and ease the pain on the taxpayers as much as possible. So we're about a 32,000 population, a combination department. We've got 20 career firefighters and about 90 volunteers. We operate out of three stations and do about 2,000 runs a year, fire and EMS first responders. So we're a non-transport agency.
Yeah. As far as SAFER, I mean, that's been a tough nut to crack for almost anybody. Did you guys go for recruitment or retention or hiring on that?
We did both, and we were successful on the hiring. We got four positions funded in 05 because up until that point, we were not on a 24-hour operation with career staff. So we were running career staff 12 hours, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., And by being successful to get those additional four positions, we're able to go to a three-man crew on the night shift. So that was able to kind of break it up where we run kind of a unique six-group system where during our daytimes we try and staff at about six or seven firefighters. And then in the evenings our volunteers help augment because they're back in the community. And at the night hours, then we've got at least three guys, which is a duty officer and two firefighters on a rig that respond right away. So when we got the grant, we were able to transition to that 24-hour coverage with our career staff.
Especially, I've heard from a lot of people, I mean, especially in hiring, I mean, that's a five-year package where you're taking on 100% of the costs in year five. How were your local officials as far as that went and looking at those costs down the road? What was their reception on that project?
They were very good with it because we laid it out. You know, we used some PowerPoints, we used some charts, we used Excel, and put everything together and showed how the declining grant over the period of 5 years when we got full cost. We also implemented what the raises would be for the entry-level guys over that five-year period. So, you know, they had to commit to actually keeping those positions and funding them after we'd have received the grant. So we operate under a board of fire commissioners, which consists of five individuals here. And all five fire commissioners were very supportive of it and very instrumental in helping. Several of the commissioners served on the committee for the SAFER grant.
That's excellent. Kevin, give us a little background in your department, because you're all volunteer and in a more rural area than the other guys.
Yes, we're about 35 miles west of Charlotte, North Carolina, just a rural, pretty much still a rural setting. There's a lot of agriculture still around. There was the main business stay here was the textile industry, which most of that's left in the early 90s, early to mid 90s. So just about all that's gone. We're 35 member department. We run about 350 calls a year. It's all fire calls. We're not first responders at all, in no means. We do have an EMS station base here, which is funded by the county. It makes it difficult sometimes with all volunteer staff, especially getting apparatus during the daylight hours. We're kind of fortunate, though, because most of our members are also paid firemen in various local communities as well. So that kind of takes the training off, but we end up being short sometimes on the calls, especially at the right time it hits, where most of those guys are on duty at the other localities at the same time.
Yeah. Now you've definitely pulled your success in here as well. You've got a tanker in 2003, bunker gear in 2004, hydraulic rescue tools in 2005, and then this year you capped it off with the countywide communications grant. Tell me a little bit about each of those, and I mean, some things obviously lend themselves easier to being a need in the project, but how did you go about each of those designs and come to the conclusion that this was the right project for you right now?
Like the chief spoke of, we try each year when we went into the process, we tried to match up what our most pressing need was with the parameters of the grant. We tried to get the best project that for our need to match up with the highest possible score that we could get from the grant or the priorities of the grant. In the first year, the tanker was our most pressing need at that time, and we didn't know much about the grant process. We tried it that year. We had not attended any seminars whatsoever. We tried to do the best we could of matching that up, just reading the guidance document and the presentation from the webpage. We were lucky. It's kind of unique about that particular grant. Two other departments in our county has used that same needs assessment and the outline of the grant, and they were successful with the same type of product. So that 1 year and the 2 years following that, one it was 03 for us and 04 for another department, and then 05 for yet a third department, we were able to take that same plan that we used, and they also received tankers. Actually, in the 04, that was kind of clear cut. PPE is always fairly easy, and it scores well in the process. 05, with the hydraulic equipment, with the rescue equipment, that was our most pressing need at that time. The rescue squads here are, they do the best they can, but they don't always put the equipment on the scene, and a lot of times we were left holding the bag, and the EMS would arrive, and they expected us to work with hand tools to extricate victims, so we had to go somewhere with rescue equipment. And we figured that one would be a tall sale, But actually, we were funded in an earlier round with the rescue equipment than we were to turnout gear the year before and the SCBA. One unique part about that one that was kind of interesting, we did learn from that grant, was we grouped airbags, airbags, extrication equipment together in one large package, and that was at the we were encouraged to do that from the help desk, but that bit us in the process because they originally reduced that the money when it came down to it because they felt it to be excessive, the program office did. And after they reduced it, we could no longer meet the scope of the project. So we went back to them and negotiated some along the way. They saw our side, so the grant was awarded based on the program that we had put forth. And they actually put the money back, with the exception of $4,000. They put it all back, so we were able to get that back. And then this last year, the most challenging of all of them has been this regional grant. And it takes a lot of work for a regional grant, and we're still in the process of administering that grant as we speak, and it has presented some challenges as well.
Yeah, certainly that's regionals are always tough trying to get everybody together, but I still see people here and try that they think slapping and well, I mean, people think any application can be kind of thrown together at the last minute, but especially regionals. I mean, you've got a long-term commitment to try and pull a lot of information together and things like that. How early did you start trying to put that regional together?
We started in the fall of the previous year. So, see, that was in 2006, the whole year. We started in the fall of 2005. The 05 process was still in a lot of the fire departments that were either part of the regional grant were still waiting for their awards in the 05 process, and that made it difficult as well because they didn't know where they were going to be at. And it really didn't penalize any of the other departments. We were the department that if anybody were penalized, we were penalizing the fact that we could only apply for the regional. We couldn't apply for anything on our own. Where the other departments, there were 15 other departments in the project, so they were still able. So it was fall of 05. I can't remember the exact day, but I'm gonna say it's October of 05 is when we started.
Now, how's the general mood? I mean, it sounds like the area has been pretty successful. And, of course, I mean, bringing $1.2 million project to the area, mostly paid for by the feds, will help the mood of the season and everybody in the area. But how are some of the other departments that don't seem to be getting anywhere? I mean, are they asking for advice from other people, or are they just getting mad when things don't go their way?
Well, it's been kind of unique in our area. It's been either feast or famine. The ones that's been getting the grants, and there's quite a few departments here, a handful that has been successful in more than 1 year. They actually work together, and they feed off of each other, and they share information. And every year, those are the same ones that are getting funded. And then the other ones, the ones that are not getting funded, they sort of take the attitude that they're never going to make it, and they still apply. Now, what type of product they turn in as far as an application, I have no idea. But they don't necessarily seek that much help. And some of them even made comments that, you know, we're never going to be funded, and we don't know why we still do this. They still submit applications. So I would advise anybody to, they need to go to those seminars. They need to seek out as much information as possible from wherever. I mean, even the forum on Firehouse is an excellent source of information and learning from what others have been able to do, both good and bad experiences. So there's tremendous ways out there for the fire departments to get the information, but the research is key.
We're going to take a quick break there and have a word from our sponsor, Plimovent.
This presentation is proudly sponsored by Plimovent. Plimovent is a driving force in advancing firefighter health and safety. Plimovent's diesel exhaust removal systems feature 100% source capture to eliminate all diesel exhaust from the firehouse as stated in NFPA 1500. Plimovent diesel exhaust removal systems meet the requirements stated in the Fire Act Grant Program guidance for modifications to facilities. Visit plimovent.com or click on the link on this page to learn more about their exhaust removal systems.
Welcome back to the Success Story Podcast. Our thanks again to Plimovent for sponsoring it. Andy, give us a little background on your department up there in the Northeast also.
Well, we're located about 30 miles north of Boston, and basically a combination department consisting of 18 full-time, 23 paid-on-call firefighters. And we typically cover 33 square miles on a one-man station, even though we have two stations. Last year, we topped over 2,000 runs a year, and we do first responder medical calls, but we do not transport. But pretty much the departments around us are pretty much a similar setup, usually full-time, daytime coverage, and revert back to call department at night. Pretty much is the same makeup all around us. Bigger cities obviously have the full-time people.
You mentioned in a little brief you sent me there, certainly you dug through NFPA and mentioned that you use a lot of quotes and things in your narrative. How big of a difference do you think that's made in the applications you've turned in?
Well, of all the grants I've turned in, I've used some type of quote, whether it be from NFPA or other sources. I think it's helped out a lot. I've been successful 3 out of 4 times. This year was the one we were denied on, but I knew we were having a tough sell with the financial need end of it. Because without having a crystal ball, with our fiscal year starting in July, it was really hard to make justification, even though right now we have no budget for expenses. But I found that it's been very helpful to me. It brings out the point of where our problem areas are, and it leads into how we were going to deal with the problems.
And Kevin had alluded to that, especially with the research end of it, and that's something I think we've all seen and heard people talk about is access to the NFPA standards and even knowing what they said, and then talking to some peer reviewers, they see over and over that people are using the wrong standards or applying the standards incorrectly to what they're doing. Now that NFPA certainly makes them available, that you can read the entire standard online, is that a big thing? You know, how early do you start looking at your certain situations and finding out what NFPA says on what you're looking for?
Well, like over the last few years, as soon as we've decided the route we were going, whether like 2003 was the vehicle exhaust system, 04 was the PPE and the SCBA, and last 2005 was the brush truck, I pretty much started pretty much maybe 6 months before the application period started to start to go through and pick out various areas that might help us out.
Yeah. You had you'd also mentioned too, I mean, in not only finding out what about the what exactly the NFPA standard says, but I mean you had a lot of specifics in there as well as far as you know, how much of your gear was you know, in certain conditions and things. I mean, is it have you found that, I mean, especially specifics are a whole lot better than using general statements?
I found, to be as specific as possible, to me, makes a better case. You know, I've been reviewing some of the others' narratives, and a lot of times I will put down, they just put in general terms, you know, a piece of equipment is costing us a lot of money to repair. Well, how much is it cost to repair it? Why is it has to be repaired all the time? And there are other issues. I have one department that says, well, we have to make custom-made parts for it. But nowhere in the narrative did they say that. But I find being really specific, like I said, when our turnout gear, I specified that we had X amount percent was defective for one deficiency, X amount was deficient for two deficiencies or more. So they understand that it's just not, okay, old gear that's worn out, maybe with some rips. They have an exact number to go by.
Yeah, and certainly, as you said, it's kind of hard, especially with the English language, that, you know, lots can mean all sorts of things to different people depending on perspectives. Jim, looking forward, how are you guys looking at this year's grant program?
Well, right now it's funny you mention it because, as Andy was saying, they looked at turnout gear, and that appears to be the category that we're going to go for in the 08 fiscal year. Right now, you know, we're patching our stuff. We found a quote-unquote certified seamstress who can do some work trying to, you know, patch the rips and tears in our protective clothing. So we
just been buying time with that, but our protective envelopes go back to almost 7-8 years vintage. So, you know, with the new standards that have come out also, we want to try and get that up to compliancy. So that's one area that we're going to be looking for, will be, you know, protective envelope.
Yeah. And Kevin, of course, looking forward, you think, looks like you've hit most of the priorities here in the past couple of years. Actually, I think all three of you have pretty well. What would you say to people that would just ask, why are you even applying anymore? You've got the basics, you know. You always hear some detractors that say, oh, you're taking other people's money and other people's needs. I mean, how do you react to that, if you've ever heard of that?
I've never really heard that myself, per se. This year, we're not 100% sold that we will apply, and the primary reason is we might be an uphill battle to find a project that would fit well enough within the scope of the grant to be competitive. And having said that, I mean, if we can't be competitive, then we would, you know, we'd be wasting our time. So this might be the first year that we very well do not compete in this, and then look to fire prevention or something else down the road. I think a lot of the agencies out there have a need. If they will actually do the work and the research and prepare their needs assessment, they have a need that would fit within the parameters of that, unless they have an endless budget and they can't find that. And I don't know too many fire departments around the country that have an endless budget and they can't find some need.
Yeah. Andy, you've gone a lot of the workshops and things in your area. How's the attitude been with some of the people that haven't gotten funded? I mean, you did mention that 80% of the departments in Massachusetts have gotten at least one in the past 6 years. What are you hearing from some of the people that either haven't gotten at least one or feel that they should have gotten a whole lot more than they have?
Yeah, well, this year the turnout was pretty low because we had a pretty big snowstorm up here. But the couple that were actually expressing frustration was on PPE and why they weren't able to get new PPE, and one of the problems was a similar setup as ours. And one of the things that the presenter said is you need to discuss with other people that have been successful. And they've been saying that year after year. Even though they were talking about they hadn't been successful, they actually were, within weeks of that seminar, were successful. They had received, a grant for their PPE. Prior to that, I had seen a lot of people, their attitudes was, well, we put in, we should have got it. They were told they had a winning application. Some people just aren't understanding that the peer reviews are going to have the final say. And they were taking the attitude, well, we put in a winning grant, we should have got it, and didn't get it, why not?
Well, I'd definitely like to thank all you gentlemen for joining us and sharing your stories, and hopefully we can convince some other people out there to go out and to keep applying mainly. I mean, that's one thing we've heard from some people. I mean, Kevin, obviously you represent a unique situation in that you've taken care of a lot of your high priority items, and certainly all have. Certainly, you've got to be in the game to play.
Yeah, you got to be in it to win it, just like the lotto.
Yeah, haven't hit that yourself either, so I have to keep playing that as well. But I want to thank you all for joining us again, and thank you all for sharing your stories, and hopefully we can learn, and hopefully we keep the mood up, and encourage our congressional representatives to keep funding the program, and hopefully increase the funding in the program so we can keep going and make sure we take care of all of our issues.
Absolutely.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.